Okay, I guess it's going. Going to begin this morning, and I hope that this will be an ongoing thing for us. I'm going to start doing overviews of books of the Bible, and I've been thinking about a good way to help the congregation in being able, if you were asked, what is the Bible message in its totality? Could you tell someone? What is contained in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Could you tell somebody that? You need to be able to give that broad overview of what's happening in the Bible. And give a little, you could say, okay, the redemption of man. Yes, that is the golden thread. But you really need to be able to give a little bit more information than that. Now, one of the ways that that's possible is if you basically know what's going on in each book of the Bible or within groups of the books of the Bible. Need to know what's going on with it and some details. So, we're going to begin by giving some overviews of the books. Of course, we're going to begin with the book of Genesis. And we'll do such things as give the purpose of the book, give you an outline, and then highlights that correspond to that outline. Simple stuff. And you may or may not want to take notes. That's up to you. As if you could jot down the scripture references would help you. And then you can go back over and look through those verses and so forth. And as I put these together, of course, you can have them as well if you want copies. And they'll give you an idea of what's going on in these books. And that way you conceptualize the entirety of the Bible. You realize there are a lot of people who really don't know what the Bible is about. They know a little bit about this book and a little bit about that book, and that's about it. You really need to be able to see the overall picture. And the more detail that you have stored in your brain about the Bible, and you can put all of it together. Some of you have made mention of various times when I've gone through the highlights of the history of the Bible, that seems to be something that's of interest. Well, this is how you do it. You've got to know something about what's going on throughout the Bible. So we're going to begin now with the book of Genesis as an overview. Now, here's the purpose of the book of Genesis. You might find this written in different ways, but this covers what's happening here in the book of Genesis. Genesis tells the beginnings of, number one, the physical universe, including the earth and man. It chronicles the beginning of the human family, the beginnings in Abraham now, and his descendancy, the nation of Israel. Not the nation proper now, you should know that. But beginning with Abraham, the beginning of the nation of Israel, and the beginning of the redemption of man through the Messiah. That is, through Jesus the Christ, who is the Savior. Okay? So it tells the beginnings of the physical universe, the human family, the nation of Israel, and the redemption of man through the Messiah. Okay? Now, here's give you an idea of the beginnings in the book of Genesis. Number one, the heavens and the earth, the animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms, the human family, and by extension, the kingdoms of men, the beginnings of sin, the condemnation for sin, the unfolding of the scheme of redemption, that is, the coming of the Christ, sacrifices, a type of the Lord's sacrifice, and the Israelite people, a type of the church. Now, that outline was in an early article of our bulletin. So if you go back, that's in the first one maybe or so. These beginnings, and that comes from Brother Bob Winton's outline commentary on Genesis. Now, here's the outline that we're going to use for our overview of the book. And it turns out there's 50 chapters in the book of Genesis, and there's also 50 points. In other words, 50 scripture references or groups. And we're just going to go through these. And it's not going to be a lot of explanation on it, but we want to look at these various groups. Now, this outline, which I took from David Watson, and this is, you'll find this same outline. He got it, I'm sure, from another source, but I sourced him in taking this. You'll find this in other commentaries. It's a basic outline, and the outline of Genesis, one way of doing it is to base it on the major characters involved, because it divides itself rather nicely into these individuals. Now, we want to notice 5 points of the book of Genesis. 5 points. Number one, from the creation, Genesis 1:1, to Abraham, Genesis 11:26. Now, as you notice as we go through that, there'll be overlap between these individuals, and because their lives overlap one another and the events overlap one another. But this is one way of outlining the book. So number one, the creation, from the creation to Abraham, Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 11:26, first division of the book. Number two, the life of Abraham, Genesis 11:27 through Genesis 25:10. The life of Abraham, Genesis 11:27 through Genesis 25, verse 10. Now, number three, the life of Isaac. Of course, Abraham and Sarah's only son, the only one they had together. The life of Isaac, Genesis 25, 11 through Genesis 26, 35. Okay? Genesis 25, verse 11 through 26, 35. And again, this outline is also included with the other outline that I mentioned, the beginnings of Genesis in an early bulletin article. So if you don't get these, you can get it from the bulletin article. And those are archived on our website, as a matter of fact. Number four, the life of Jacob, also known as Israel, Genesis 27:1 through Genesis 36:43. The life of Jacob, or Israel, Genesis 27:1 through Genesis 36:43. And then finally, the life of Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, or Israel, Genesis 37:1 through Genesis 50:26, or the end of the book. The life of Joseph, Genesis 37:1 through Genesis 50 and verse 26. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do now is, within those five groups, roughly speaking, because there is overlap, I'm going to take these highlights, and I actually wrote this, and on down through, oh, really the end of the book of Chronicles, I skipped some. I didn't do the book, all very much the book of Leviticus, but I went through, read, and put down the highlights of each chapter, everything that's happening, and I wrote that down and gave scripture reference. And that's what this comes from. So, the first part, from the creation of Abraham, or the creation to Abraham, rather, from the creation of the earth, Genesis 1:1, to the life of Abraham, Genesis 11:26, we find these groups, and there's about 15 points here. Okay, the beginning of the universe, Genesis 1:1. The beginning of man, Genesis 1:26. Now, next, laws intended specifically for men, Genesis 1, verse 28. Now, there were natural laws created and set in place, Genesis 1, 1 through 27, and Genesis 2, 1 through 2. What I'm doing now, don't worry about trying to write all of this down, because it'll be too much for you necessarily unless you're really quick. And again, I'll give you this material, so I'll certainly send it to you, or make a copy and give it to you. But this just gives you an overview of what's happening in this section, again, from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 11:26. Now, number five under this point is the institution of the family, the human family, Genesis 2:18 through 25. Number six, Satan's evil works appear on the earth, Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. Man falls to temptation, Genesis 3 and verse 6. And then God's plan for man's salvation is introduced, Genesis 3 and verse 15, which is the first of the messianic prophecies that are given in the Bible. Adam and Eve are cast from the paradise of the garden and must now toil for their needs, Genesis 3, 17 through 24. Genesis chapter 4 introduces the first recorded acts of worship to God, Genesis 4, 3 through 5. And following this is the first record of murder, Genesis 4, verse 8. The earth became filled with violence and wickedness, Genesis 6, 5 through 15. And again, this is just an overview of what's happening, especially through chapter 4, the first four chapters of the book of Genesis, in my opinion, you really do need to understand, because they are formed the foundation and backbone for the rest of the Bible and for the entire existence of mankind. So it's good to study those chapters, and that's another reason why I gave quite a bit of detail about that. And so we now go to the time of the flood. As I said, the earth became filled with violence and wickedness, Genesis 6, 5 through 15. God determined to destroy man, beast, and creeping things, and fowls of the air, Genesis 6, 7. So that's the destruction of the air-breathing animals on the earth and man. Noah finds favor before God and is instructed to build an ark to the saving of his house and the animals that were to be taken on board to replenish the earth after the flood, Genesis 6, 8 through 22. Now, Genesis chapter 11 reveals the scattering of man upon the face of the earth after the flood and the introduction of Abraham, Genesis 11, verses 8 through 9, and Genesis 11, 26 through 32, which picks up with Terah, Abraham's father. Now, we come now to the second part, as I've rather roughly divided this according to this original outline. Now, the life of Abraham. Okay? Now, this begins in Genesis 12. Abraham is called by God to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to sojourn in the land into which God would lead him, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And in that same passage is an important prophecy concerning the coming of the Christ, for the blessings through the Christ unto the world is revealed in verse 3, Genesis 12, verse 3. Abraham pays tithes to Melchizedek, the priest of Salem, Genesis 14, 8 through 20. If you look at the book of Hebrews, we find that great correlation between Melchizedek and the coming of the Christ and his high priesthood over the church. Now, that's why that's so important to us, and the puts in perspective the law of Christ and the law of Moses. Find that especially in the book of Hebrews. And there was an earlier bulletin article about that, comparing Christ and Melchizedek. You might want to go back and look at that. Now, next, Abraham's son Ishmael, and that was by Sarah's handmaid Hagar, is born when Abraham is 86 years old. That's Genesis 16, 17. Then circumcision is introduced, Genesis 17, 10 through 14. And next, the son Isaac is promised to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, Genesis 17, 19. And that again has reference to the coming of the Christ, the establishment of the kingdom of Israel through Isaac. So that's the reason why those points are important. And the evil and corrupt cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are overthrown by God, Genesis 19, 24. Of course, an important historical fact, both in the Bible and, of course, in the history of mankind. Abraham and Sarah's son Isaac is born, Genesis 21, verses 2 and 3. Now, we skip on to the next chapter, Genesis 22. God tests Abraham and is commanded to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. We notice especially verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 22. And it goes on the first part of that chapter and all, several verses involved with all of that, the entire thing dealing with that, found in Genesis chapter 22. Now, next, Abraham obeys God, and God provides a ram to be offered in Isaac's place. Genesis 22, 3, and verses 11 through 13. And that is important because we see a type of the sacrifice of Christ involved in that sacrifice of Isaac. Again, going back to the book of Hebrews. Now, Sarah dies at age 127. As an interesting point, she's the only woman that is her age at death is given, just Sarah. So we have Sarah dying at age 127, Genesis 23, 1 through 2. Then, and we're coming now to the life of Isaac, at this point, that again, they're overlapping here. Isaac and Rebekah are married, Genesis chapter 24. Abraham dies at 175, at the age of 175, Genesis 25, 7 through 8. So that brings us to the end of the life of Abraham. And then we're looking at now the life of Isaac, Genesis 25. Rebekah conceives and bears Jacob and Esau, Genesis 25, 25 through 26. And especially Jacob coming into the picture is very important because his name shall be changed to Israel. He shall have 12 sons. They shall become the 12 tribes of Israel. The beginning of the nation of Israel and all, and down to the book of Exodus, of course. Now, Rebekah conceives and bears Jacob and Esau, Genesis 25, 25 to 26. And then we begin talking about Jacob in particular. Jacob takes Esau's blessing from their father, Genesis 25, 27. And then Jacob flees the wrath of Esau and journeys toward Padan Aram to take a wife of his own people, Padan Aram or Mesopotamia, Genesis 28. Of course, this brings us up to where we are on a Wednesday night study. Jacob then has 12 sons by his two wives and their two handmaidens, Genesis 35, 22 through 26. Finally, Rachel dies in Bethlehem, or near Bethlehem, after the birth of Benjamin, Genesis 35, 18 through 19. That particular passage will explain very succinctly what it means to die physically. That says that Rachel's soul was in departing. So So that's what physical death is all about. So Joseph then comes in. Joseph is coming to the picture, and then finally Benjamin here at this point. And then the last part, Isaac dies at the age of 180, Genesis 35, 28 through 29. Now we pick up with the life of Joseph, which takes up the entire rest of the book of Genesis. It's about Joseph and his dealings. And this also brings how we end up with the nation of Israel, or the people of Israel, being in Egypt. Of course, that's a type. The bondage in Egypt is also a type of sin. And also, the Scriptures tell us that I will bring my son, I shall call my son out of Egypt. It has a dual purpose, or dual meaning, both with the Christ, because he was hid in Egypt for a time, evading the wrath of Herod. We can look at that in the first part of the book of Matthew and other accounts involving that in the gospel record. But Egypt was the place of bondage for Israel. And so God will bring Israel out, or the nation of Israel, out of Egyptian bondage. So those things are very important. We learn much about that and how God deals with His people. So now we begin with the life of Joseph. Again, the latter portion of the book of Genesis. Well, Joseph is sold into slavery by his brethren and delivered into Egypt, Genesis 37, verse 28. God blesses Joseph while in Egypt, Genesis 39, verse 2. Joseph is falsely accused and cast into prison, Genesis 39, 19 through 20. And in the life of Joseph, we find a very vivid and beautiful picture of the providence of God, how He took care of Joseph and eventually taking care of his father and his brethren and the entire people of Israel. And so, Joseph is falsely accused and cast into prison. Joseph interprets the dreams of the baker and the butler, Genesis 40 and verse 8. That's how he's going to come to be in Pharaoh's presence. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, Genesis 41, 15 through 16. And that has to do with why Joseph was made governor of the land, Genesis 41, 40. Then Joseph will have two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they shall become two of the tribes of Israel. There will be no tribe of Joseph, but it will be divided to his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. It's also interesting that Ephraim will also be the name by which Israel is often referred to as a whole, and often not in a very good context either. Okay, not in a very good light. Now, so all these points are important considering the history of Israel and what will come concerning the Christ and even of the church. So one thing, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it has a lot to do with everything. So that's why those things are important. Now, nextly, Joseph's brethren go to Egypt for corn or grain because of the great famine and come before Joseph. Well, this sets in motion that which will come to bring Israel into Egypt. Genesis chapter 42, verses 5 through 6. Nextly, Joseph reveals himself to his brethren, Genesis 45, 1 through 15. Jacob and Joseph are reunited, Genesis 46, 29. Jacob blesses his children. That would be all of these tribes. And that's, again, that's a very important two chapters there, Genesis chapters 48 and 49. And in Genesis 49 and verse 10, we have another prophecy concerning the Christ that's very important to us, for the Christ's lineage through Judah is foretold. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall be the gathering of the people. Genesis 49 and verse 10. Well, it has to do with the Christ, that he shall be king, and to him shall be the gathering of all the nations, both the Jew and the Gentile. Again, very important verse for us to know and understand. Finally, Jacob dies at 147 years of age. Genesis 47, 28 and Genesis 49, 33 are references for that. And then finally, as the book of Genesis ends, and it brings us into the book of Exodus as it begins next, Joseph dies at 110. Now, at the end, toward the end of Joseph's life, or in that time frame, prophesied that God will surely visit His people in Egypt and see their bondage and bring them out. And thou shalt bring up my bones hence. In other words, you'll bring my bones out of Egypt and take them and bury them in your possession in Israel. So Joseph prophesied by inspiration that God would come in the future and bring His people out of Egypt, and they would even carry His bones out of Egypt and bury them in Israel. And that will be fulfilled both in the book of Exodus and then finally, fully, in the book of Joshua after the children of Israel had taken their inheritance. And, of course, Joseph's body, his bones will be buried in the possession belonging to his those of his sons, of his family possession. So that brings us through the book of Genesis. That's a really quick overview of what the book is about. So that gives you some idea. If you can go through this information and at least conceptualize the overall part, not every detail of this. I couldn't go through. I haven't memorized these 50 points and every verse of Scripture. Notice with that, I could tell you a lot of them. But you don't have to memorize all of those. But if you can go over that and get this idea in your head about what the book is about, that'll help you. And start, a good place to start is with the book of Genesis, because it's the foundation for everything else. You'll begin to see how everything stacks on top of it, and it's every part fits in. It's like a big puzzle. So that's something that is very good for us to do. And again, if you want this information, I'll be glad to give it to you. I just copied it from my files this morning for preaching this, and you're welcome to it. And you might want to make notes yourself or whatever. Hopefully, if this is something that seems to be good, and I hope it will be, I want to continue on with this in other books. Go on to the book of Exodus and so forth on down, especially going through the Pentateuch, the first five books, and going forward. And it'll help us a lot when we get down to talking about 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which we do together, help you get the kings and all these things hopefully together and give you an idea, because that can be kind of confusing. So there's an overview of the book of Genesis. Give you an idea. Again, the purpose. Tells the beginnings of the physical universe, the human family, the nation of Israel, and redemption of man through the Messiah. If you don't remember anything else, it'd be good to memorize that, to be able to have that in mind. And then we'll go on with other books and get that idea in your head. The redemption of man through the Christ is a very prominent message, even in the book of Genesis, that men had to be saved. And I hope to do a sermon before very long about really the two plans that God has for man. His first plan, when He created man, He created him perfectly and without sin, and that man was to remain that way and have that personal fellowship, even a somewhat physical relationship with God. That is, that he was in His presence. There's no barriers, as it were, because of sin between God and man. Well, that's the way God created man. He intended that he stay that way. But he had another plan in place if man sinned. Well, man did sin. God knew that he would. But man had a choice. God created him with free will. Now we come to Genesis chapter 3. In comes Satan's influence. He's tempting Eve and Adam. They partake of the fruit that was forbidden to them to partake of. Sin enters the world. And so now God has a plan in place to redeem man. He's now lost. He has to pay a price. Well, someone stepped in his place that day. That was the Christ, figuratively speaking. Physically, it was the animals that were slain to provide the skins to cover Adam and Eve. We find that there in the latter portions of Genesis chapter, in that chapter in Genesis chapter 3. So this scheme of redemption that was in the mind of God eternally, ready and waiting, came into play. So all of man's history from Genesis 3 on to the end of time is all about Christ. Have you availed yourself of that plan today? It is a plan that works. And we're so blessed to live in the time frame in which we live because we have the fully given gospel. No more a mystery as to how men should be saved, but rather fully revealed to man now in every part and every detail that needs to be known in order for us to be saved. But we have a high priest in heaven that has brought his own blood into the very throne room of God and presented it, and it has been accepted. And we have a Christ now reigning over us. And we can have forgiveness of sin. Have you done that today? Are you a member of the Lord's church by being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? And if you have done that, are you continually walking in the light? 1 John 1:7, that the blood might continually be applied to you. Are you in that state? You have to be in order to be saved. It's as simple as that. If you're not, if you're in violation of what God has told man that he must do in order to be saved, you need to make that right, even this morning, because you may not have an opportunity to do it this afternoon. If you know what you're supposed to do, you had better do it for your soul's sake. We stand ready to assist you. If you have a need this morning to obey the gospel, to be baptized into Christ, or to be restored unto faithful service, whatever the case may be, we encourage you to come now as we stand and as we sing this song of invitation.
Number 84.